Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, Kyle, I'm doing great. It's April, probably the best month that's not in football season, because it's draft month.
True, I mean, well, again, CFL fan here, so for me, football season runs like three extra months, so yeah, there aren't many months that aren't part of football season, but certainly... April, we get the Masters, we get men's curling world championships, and of course the NFL draft. Certainly the Packers are going to be much more focused on the NFL draft than anything else I've been rambling about. Oh yeah, baseball started, whatever. I'll give props there. They draw. But it's time to talk about some draft prospects. No, it's been, about 3 weeks since we last recorded, so Jesse, two signings, I think, that happened since then. Really, the Packers, we kind of recorded a good time. We got most of what the Packers did. They weren't super active this year. Quality over quantity, really. Spent all that money on Xavier McKinney. That wasn't going to be left a lot to fill a bunch of other free agent spots, so I think since then, Eric Wilson was re-signed, and there might be some kicking. Yeah, sure. I guess he would, because right now he would be the third or maybe even fourth linebacker. So it's linebacker right. Depth, which I guess they could needed to getting rid of Devondre Campbell and everything. But I think, special teams, you're right. That's probably, I guess, both of the recent signings were connected to special teams because there might be some competition for Anders Carlson. They went and they signed Greg Joseph. So not going to be the same. Much rather have Aaron Jones than Greg Joseph. But if the Vikings stole our running back, our franchise running back, well then, yeah, let's go steal their franchise kicker. Yeah. But you know what? Greg Joseph has been pretty good. And what do you think right now? I mean, to me, if they're bringing him in, I mean, that clearly says that, yeah, they're Carlson's job is not guaranteed regardless of rookie contract. That's my
opinion. Not at all. This is whoever wins the battle is going to be the kicker, right? Bringing him hopefully pushes the young guy, but hey, wouldn't it be something? You know, Vikings always take our guys, and now, hey, let's take their kicker, and he ends up being a stud. So
you know what's going to happen, though? We're going to cut Carlson. He's going to go to the Vikings because they're not going to – it's funny because they actually drafted his brother and cut him before he was really with the Raiders. So something about the right. Vikings. To be honest, Greg Joseph's been pretty good at this point. I'd argue he's the favorite to win the job.
I think so too. You don't bring in a vet kicker just on a whim. Like, listen, they're gearing up. They don't want mistakes in the playoffs. Let's go get a vet who's been, who just you can trust more. So yeah, I'd be surprised unless something crazy happens that he's not our kicker. So it's a good move, right? It's always competition's good and upgrading where you can. It's always a positive. So I like the move.
I don't know if their ceiling is necessarily higher, but.
Maybe
I
think
the floor is so much more than it was before because maybe Joseph takes a step back on what he's been. That's always a possibility. But as long as he continues to be the player he's been over the last few seasons, that's an improvement. But if Carlson wins the job over him, that means he's probably improved enough that that's also an improvement too. So to your point earlier, if you push the young guy to be even better, that's even better because really he's still on the rookie contract for I think three more seasons now. So if you could find a way to just have him improve and be the guy, you'd love that. But if Joseph really is the better guy, it should be him. So really intense kicking battle to come in training camp.
And maybe it just goes to show don't draft kickers. You just go find one. But
there were several draft picks last year. Like I'm still not crazy about the Sean Clifford draft pick, to be honest. I think you can get pretty cheap but also decent backup quarterbacks with NFL experience. Especially for a team that we've talked about it already. Like to me, this is a team competing for the Super Bowl. That's what the expectations are based on how good they were last year and how historically good this franchise has been. They are, of course, the team with the most championships in league history. So this is a team that is constantly competing. Take that, Vikings, who've never actually won anything. they're always supposedly competing too. We'll see if Sam Darnold's their quarterback, if that's going to be the case. But I don't know. I think because I guess that was the one news we didn't talk about. Probably a bigger loss for the Vikings than Greg Joseph leaving is Kirk Cousins leaving for the Falcons. A lot of quarterback movement, to be honest, really both other than the Lions, the other two NFC North teams are going to have new quarterbacks this year. For the Vikings, whether that's Sam Darnold or a rookie quarterback, for the Bears, it's a rookie quarterback. traded away Justin Fields, pretty cheap. So my prophecy of him being the best quarterback in the NFC North definitely never came true. So yeah, wrong about that. Maybe he'll be the best quarterback in the AFC North. Probably not. There's some
Probably
pretty
not.
good quarterbacks in that division.
Right. Yeah, that'd be something.
To be honest, at this point, as much as I'm a Justin Fields truther, so to speak, I can't even say he's the best quarterback on his team now because as I thought Russell Wilson did take a step up, and like I guess it's a little extra free agency episode here, but just to talk about like how things have shaken up at quarterback so much. But yeah, I think for the Packers, they've done what they needed to do in terms of got some key free agents. The team as constructed right now without any rookies can still compete. I think compete for the division, compete for the playoffs, compete for the Super Bowl, as we've mentioned. Can they add any rookies here, especially in the first round, that can really up the stakes for them? And so today's episode, we're going to be talking about the offensive prospects the Packers could draft. We'll do defense on the next episode. So just to again ask that question, Jesse, of the first round pick, if you're ready to get into it now, you and I both talked before, so it seems like we're in agreement here, but there's if the Packers are going to go offense in the first round, it really just seems like there's one position only where it makes sense.
Quarterback, right? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's O-line, right? And even if it's not a starter, it's depth. It's you're looking for the best value, best bang for your buck. Looks like the other positions, we have some talent. Not saying we don't have talent on the O-line, but there are a few holes and some depth, and this is the perfect draft for that, especially early. So it's O-line 100% for me is probably the most likely, if you want to say that, or at least the best shot at the guy that's going to step in and probably make the biggest mark on this team.
So the Packers currently sit at 25 overall in the first round. Of course, trades could happen, whether it's up or down. But looking in that range, I mean, like you said, they're not going quarterback. Frankly, I love running back as a position. Most years, it's not smart to take a running back in the first round. This year, it might not be smart to take a running back in the second round. There is no elite running back in this class. Just as a quick comparison, I do my film grades and read those articles. It's fantasy football centered, but you can read those detailed evaluations I have on running backs. I chart out my evaluation process, and my film grade score this year, the highest player had a score that last year that score would have been 11th overall. This year, that same score is first overall. So, and I mean, it's the lowest I've seen from a top grade in all the years I've been doing this. And with this current scoring process, detail as it is, that goes back to 2020. So not an elite running back class. So that they shouldn't even be like, at 58 overall, they still shouldn't be thinking running back. I'd argue you don't think about running back in this year's class until day three, because it seems like there's a lot of good players, but none of them that really stand out as to getting early capital. So, even through the second and third round, I would say you shouldn't address the backfield. No quarterback, no running back. There's no need to take either of those positions. So offensively, again, you mentioned the offensive line. There's wide receivers and there's tight ends. I guess real quick, I think there's only one tight end that's worth first round capital, Brock Bowers, and he's expected to go in the top 10. He might fall outside the top 10, but I don't think he's getting outside the top 20. If he does, I wouldn't hate it, but I mean, that would be quite a fall for him to 25. What's wrong? And then he's falling, right? It does seem like that might be a no-brainer if you ever were to fall, but it seems very unlikely that's going to happen.
Yeah, and I'm not as high on him. The question was on Twitter yesterday. Peter Bukowski asked it, and said, "You got to take him if he's at 25, right?" No, I wouldn't. Depending on who else is there. Yes, he was great in college. I think he's a little undersized. He's essentially a bigger wide receiver, which I don't think he's faster than Luke Musgrave. I really don't. Luke Musgrave is a freak who's bigger.
So
Is
does
he more
Tucker
polished?
Kraft. I
Yeah.
mean, both of them destroyed the
Right.
combine last year. And
So,
the one weakness to Bowers' profile is that he didn't run at the combine, so we really don't know.
yep. Yeah, right. And he's smaller than those other two guys. So him playing in line, he didn't play a lot of in line, you know, at Georgia. So again, I'm not hating on the player. I don't see the fit, especially what we did last year and the upside of our two young guys. Again, I'm not against it, but it won't, depending who's there, I'd probably go a different route. But it, I don't think he's fallen that far. So let's just be honest. If he does fall that far, there's concern and we're probably passing.
I think the impact of an offensive lineman that, frankly, at this point with the first round, even if they don't immediately start, you're expecting them to start at some point during their most of their rookie contract, if not during their rookie season.
Oh,
So
yeah.
if I think that's why both you and I are thinking offensive line. This could be a great place where looks like there's a lot of offensive players expected to go in the top 10, in the top 15. And I'm looking at mock draft database website that will compile a bunch of mock drafts done on a bunch of different websites. They'll have composite mock drafts. They've got big board rankings at every position. And so looking at that at the offensive line spot, or specifically the offensive tackle play the spot, I look through their big board and they've got seven offensive linemen ranked in the top 30 of the overall players. So to like mock draft database in terms of like again all the expert consensus who've ranked these prospects, not necessarily mock drafted but ranks, they looks like they rank 30 seven players worthy of being that first round pick. And now if you look at their big board consensus mocks, there's actually eight offensive tackles, or at least players listed as offensive tackle, who have been consensus mocked inside the first round. So we're eight offensive tackles could go in the first round. I mean, maybe a lot of them go even before the Packers, but it looks like this is a very deep offensive tackle class at the very top end. So we can talk about a few of those names. Seems like again, quite a few of them might be out of reach for the Packers. Certainly one guy looks like he's locked in to be a top 10 pick, kind of like a Brock Bowers, but certainly looks like tackle there should be there's a chance, at least a good chance, that there's a player there that's good enough to take and could maybe even start for the Packers this year.
Oh man, yeah, this draft is top heavy. If you need an old lineman, I would not be upset with probably 10 of these guys that play O-line in the first round. I really wouldn't be. They are loaded. Like you said, Joe Alt's going to be gone. Fuanga from Washington State, I don't even want to start saying first names on some of these guys, is probably gone.
Well, Joe Alt from Notre Dame, I think that one we got, but yeah, it's looks like
Yeah.
Talisi Fuaga from Oregon
Yeah, he'll be
State.
gone. He's my
Yeah.
favorite one, actually.
Oh,
So,
really? Because it
yeah.
seems like everyone's all in on Joe Alt. So just quickly, I mean, again, doesn't look like there'll be Packers relevance unless they decide to trade up for him, but why is Fuaga your favorite tackle?
I just love the nasty streak. So, Joe Alt, it came in as a tight end. So, awesome athlete, right? I think he's going to have to, he's really tall. I think he's going to have to add a little bit of muscle. Kind of like Bock, right? You know, he's going to need that first year to grow, but he's going to be a stud. But Fuanga, I'm telling you, I think this guy is going to be a killer for 10 years. I just love the mean streak. He's going to be a bully right away. Like, insert him at right tackle, he's a top three right tackle. That's how high I am on him. I just love his game. I love how he moves. I love how he finishes. And that's not knocking Alt. I think he's a top seven player. I'm just that high. So I don't think we have a chance at either of them.
And so yeah, again, I'll just go off what Mock Draft Database has here. Joe Alt is the ninth player overall on the big board. And frankly, looking inside the
Or
top 10, there's a couple teams that could use a tackle. I think, I guess maybe even the teams at the top that are probably going to go quarterback would be among some of those teams that could go with
yep.
Joe Alt. So assuming they don't go quarterback, the one team that, I mean, they've got Will Levis. So you could say they could go draft another quarterback this year after taking a second rounder, the year after taking a third rounder, maybe just try to up that.
Oof.
But it looks like
Right.
Joe Alt's often mocked to the Tennessee Titans at seven. So assuming
Right.
that happens, though, unfortunately, the one thing that we might not like to see is if Fuaga gets drafted by the Bears at nine. That's the one
Yeah.
scenario I could see where he doesn't get out of the top 10. Mock draft database, apparently his consensus mock is the Raiders at 13, actually. But I'm sure there are some mock drafts out there where Fraga is inside the top 10.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's not going to go over Alt, I don't think, just because of the upside of Alt. I think what you see is what you get with Fuaga. but I love what I see. So I don't know. I just guys like him with that mean streak. I love it. So just that brings that nasty. But yeah, you can't go wrong either way. Like I said, yeah, this draft is loaded.
Now it looks at, like in terms of where they're being mocked, maybe there's another player in this sort of elevated tier top 15 player. He is actually 15th on the consensus big board for overall players on mock draft database. Olum Miawa Fashanu.
Benson. Yep.
So yeah, Fashanu. Do you view him as the same tier as Fuaga and Alt, or is this like is it just those two at the top tier and Fashanu is in the second tier of offensive tackle?
I am not high on this guy, so I'm the opposite. After watching Ohio State and those pass rushers basically embarrass this guy, he struggles with the speed. Not saying that he can't improve. I thought he was sloppy. Again, he's a really good athlete. He can improve on it. I think there's going to be a lot of growing pains, so I am not as high. I think you have the first two on their own tier, and then it starts that second tier. It's a little bit of a gap, not a bad gap, but he's probably the one that I think is the least pro ready out of all these guys. But I think he's very high, so that's where I sit with him.
All right, because it looks like right now, again, mock draft database with their consensus mocks has four offensive linemen going in that 13 to they have 13 to 18 range. So there's also Troy Fatanu from Washington, mm-hmm. and then J.C. Latham from Alabama. So do you guys? I mean, sounds like you like both of those more than Fashanu, but are you viewing them as this next solid guys? Where if they fell to the Packers, those would be the two you'd be excited about.
So Latham's a big, not really a Packer. He's really big, right? He'd be the biggest lineman that Green Bay ever drafted. He's a mountain. Played on the right side at Bama, and it wasn't a bad thing. It's just that's where he played. But yeah, he's a mauler, really good football player. Fontenot, I believe they're going to kick inside. I think he's better inside. So that's one of those Packer guys that can play tackle, but probably moves inside, which Green Bay likes guys like that. I'd be fine with either or. They're in that tier, but I think I like two guys better than both of those guys. So you could keep going.
Well, yeah, I guess. And again, we really like Zach Tom. And, you know, maybe Zach Tom moves around, but we really right. like Zach Tom at right tackle. That's almost the one spot you want to avoid. You are, like, I guess, Fatanu, I mean, would you say he would have a good chance to start at right guard this year if they drafted him?
Hopefully, yeah. Any of these guys they draft has a shot to start. I would go farther to say these guys will start. Either right guard or they bump Myers out if you think you got a center. But yes, a battle at right guard for sure. That's not locked in.
Okay, so well, then I'll talk about the three last guys that are mocked inside the first round on a consensus basis. So, and this really wouldn't surprise me if the Packers went this way. They love picking from this school, but Amarius Mims out of Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Is he one of the guys that you're really excited about?
So that's all upside, right? And that's he's big, he's nasty. When he's in there, he was really good. Not a lot of game time on him, right? Injuries held him back. Playing for Georgia, yeah, it's hard to start right away. But the sky's the limit with this guy. This guy's upside is probably the highest. And that's what teams are going to fall in love with. Like, this guy is fresh. You know, there's one guy I have ahead of him. But if they took him, I'd understand why. Because you give him kind of a red shirt year. Because he's just going to play tackle. He's going to be a tackle. Probably a swing. Your swing guy his first year. With the chance of playing either side long term. He played right tackle at Georgia. But with his size and frame, he can play left tackle too. So, and he's young. I think he's only 20. So this dude has everything's in front of him. Sounds like a Packer pick, right? They want to see his best football in front of him.
Yeah, for sure. Which would be ideal. He might be like right now he's being mocked just ahead of the Packers. Actually, the consensus mock is funny enough, the Dallas Cowboys who are sitting at 24. So might miss on him by one pick, if it fell the way it does, it sounds like you'd actually be happy. Is Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma the guy you want?
He's not.
So he's he's 30 on the big board on mock draft database, but also 30 in their consensus ranking. So he's someone that they could realistically get. But what do you think of Guyton?
Good player, Oklahoma. You know, big bloodline, super better athlete than I thought. after the combine, another mauler. I think he plays right tackle, but yeah, a lot of guys are higher on him than some. I think he's a little bit more all over the place. Some have him in the teens, and I've seen some boards where, you know, he's a mid day two. So to be honest, I haven't watched as much on him as other guys, other than he kind of popped at the combine, where it's like, wow, this guy's pretty good. So.
All right. So there's one last first rounder. So maybe you don't like any of the guys that are actually great in the first round, other than of course the top two. Is it Jordan?
Well, Morgan? I like him.
Okay, but not as your favorite. Like, it sounds like you almost have whoever we mentioned next, maybe you're like your tackle number three, but is it Jordan Morgan out of Arizona?
It's not. It's probably because he's an interior on your list. So
okay,
it's not enough. Jordan Morgan, but Jordan Morgan's really good too. He didn't give up a sack the last 2 years. I was coming off an ACL injury, I think, from a year ago. He came back this year as a probably won first round last year if he didn't get hurt, right? So he came back just to prove that he's healthy. Did not give up a sack for a second year in a row. Yeah, again, another mauler. Can probably move inside too. So another guy I could see in green and gold, I would not be mad.
Well, and you know what? Terrence Biggs, the Full Press Raiders managing editor, but also one of our best overall managing editors at Full Press Coverage. He's been doing a few mock drafts for different teams, and he just released a Packers mock draft just an hour ago before we recorded. And Jordan Morgan is actually someone he drafts for them in the second round. So
perfect. I'll take him.
I think for a few of these guys, whether it's Morgan or like you mentioned with Mims, if they needs to wait, Rasheed Walker is good enough to give them starts at left tackle while they allow whatever, if they do go left tackle in the draft, they allow that player to mature, get up to speed at the NFL game, and then throw them in so they're not overwhelmed immediately. So Rasheed Walker gives them that kind of opportunity where they don't, I mean, maybe even they even go later at tackle, and to maybe the way you're thinking, they go with an interior offensive line. So maybe we'll actually shift the conversation over to who are some of these interior O-linemen that could be going in the first round. Looks like Mock Draft Database has two guys as interior O-linemen that are both ranked on the big board inside the top 30, but also their consensus mock drafts have shown them to be mocked there. Usually just, you know, outside the top 20, but it seems, anywhere between really 20 and 27 seems like common places for them, which right where the Packers pick. So there's two guys again, these, and to your point, Jesse, some of the guys even listed as tackle, you mentioned Fontenot. He's likely even to move to guard. So, yep. I mean, we could throw Fontenot into this conversation too we're having here, but the two guys that Mock Draft Database has as strictly interior guys that are in, you know, graded as first rounders, there's Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon and Graham Barton out of Duke.
Well, you said my guy in there, so if you want a Green Bay Packer who's going to be long-term, can play all five spots, basically he reminds me of Brian Bulaga, where you just plug and play and never have to worry about him. That's Graham Barton. Back in September, I did a mock draft, and he was my first-round pick then, and nothing's changed. If anything, I think he's gotten better. His RAS score was 9.99, I believe, second highest ever. and he's nasty. So he played left tackle for Duke the last 2 years. And if you just watch this guy finish blocks, like, he's clean. He's not the power guy like Powers is, who's a strictly more of a center. But this guy just, he's got great footwork, so he moves well. He understands leverage and just gets the job done. He looks like a Packer. He plays like a Packer. That's long-term guy right there for me. Now, when I say this, you know, I don't want to say he's my favorite. He's just the most likely for me. And I think other guys have higher ceiling, could be, you know, all pro, all world, stuff like that. This guy's probably not all pro, but, you know, he's probably a pro bowler, you know, like Bulaga. You know, Bulaga didn't go to a lot of pro bowls, but we knew how good he was, right? Just that quiet guy that you just knew would handle his business. And that's who I see Graham Barton being, just a plug and play guy wherever you need him. I'll play tackle in a pinch. And that's him for sure. So I love the player.
And it fits so much with the Packers O-line versatility, but it allows the Packers to do what they always preach. Who are the best five guys out there? If Sean Ryan, like right now, looks like penciled in as the starting right guard, I think, who would you say is actually the starting right guard?
It's probably Ryan just because, you know, there's nobody else, no competition, right? But one of these guys, if we do draft a guy early, I think it's 50-50. I really do. Even if, you know, typical Matt LaFleur, you go with Ryan, you know, the first 2 weeks, and then by week three, you might be working in the next guy. So he is not safe for sure. And I
I
really don't
suppose
think
Royce
Myers is
Newman
safe
is still
either.
on the team too. So yeah, it's probably Sean Ryan.
Unfortunately. Yeah, right. So, and I think Sanders got up for grabs too. So.
Sure. But I think if let's say they go with Barton, that allows them to okay, say between Walker. I mean, could Barton even play center, to be honest?
Yes, 100%. I think he's it's center or guard. So I probably preseason they're going to move him in every position outside of left guard. You know, let him play left tackle, let him play center, let him see where it falls in.
Yeah, no, for sure. That makes sense. And I mean, if he excels enough at left tackle, I mean, yeah, that gives the luxury of having Rasheed Walker as a backup swing tackle is pretty great. So,
Right.
maybe that's how Barton starts, like we talked about with some other players, but he does give them maybe the best shot to start week one because of the interior work. So apparently he played tackle at Duke, right?
Yeah, he played tackle his last, he came out as a freshman, started at center, and I believe he played guard his sophomore year, then he was tackle the rest of the way out, left tackle. So he team captain for 2 years. I mean, it just spits Green Bay. So
And I mean, if you look at their big board, mock draft database has him as the 27th player overall. Now, the consensus mocks themselves. His most popular mock destination is Miami Dolphins at 21. So there's a chance if they want him, they might have to move up to get him. But if he's going earlier, maybe that's some other guys we talked about that are more strictly tackles are available for them, and that kind of changes their plan and, you know. Maybe it forces them to start Sean Ryan more of this year than they wanted. But if they get an elite tackle at the end of the first round, maybe that's worth it. And they can still always, again, address guard in the later rounds.
it's a great problem to have. Oh, you don't get your interior guy, but you get your future at one of the tackle spots. Oh, darn, right? So it's a great spot to be in.
So really, we're looking at, looks like at least 10 first round worthy offensive linemen in this draft. And so
Oh, yeah.
the Packers wouldn't be really reaching taking any of those 10 guys, it seems like.
None of them. No, I would not have a problem with any of them. I really wouldn't. I think they all are plug and play kind of guys.
And now, actually, in Terry's mock, he actually had the Packers trading down, which when you were talking about, okay, if Bowers falls to them at 25, does someone like come up and like get aggressive for them? Like, okay, we passed on him earlier, but now we have a chance to get him again, like, and the Packers could really leverage that moving down. So essentially what the way Terry orchestrated this trade, he was very specific, with the Jaguars trading up, the Packers get the Jaguars 25 first and 25 seconds and a sixth rounder this year. So, you know, for the Packers, they would, you know, they wouldn't draft in the first round, but you get two shots next year, all while knowing they still have the Jets' second round pick this year at 41. And in this mock, with that being their first pick, Terry decided to go with O-line. I already mentioned he went Jordan Morgan at 58. We went Cooper Beatty at 41st overall. And yeah, I think I'll just leave it there with those two, just because it was so relevant to our conversation. I'll let our readers again check out the rest of the mock at fullpresscoverage.com. See who Terry added to the Packers, but to Terry's point of going O-lineman, I guess this is the last guy we'll talk about. What do you think of Cooper Baby from Kansas State?
Lunch pail kind of guy. I think it's a little early for him, but really good football player. Again, just lunch pail, gets the job done, tough, gritty. Just a good foot, right? It's not sexy, right? So yeah, oh man, O line. There's nothing sexy about it. You win in the trenches, so that's he's speaking my language right there. I have no problem with stuff like that.
In terms of the big board ranks, there's a couple of there. He's fifth among the interior linemen. BB is. Other than again the two first rounders you mentioned earlier, there's Zach Frazier out of West Virginia and Christian Haynes out of the University of Connecticut that are ranked ahead of him. So, BB looks like a top five interior lineman in this class. And you know maybe and you take Fontenot, you move him over there, he still would be sixth technically. But yeah, it's some good options there. And I guess looking at that tackle spot outside the first round, if they want to go 41, actually the 41st player on the big board is Kingsley Sematia out of BYU. So he's listed as a tackle. So that could be. What do you think? I don't know if you know much about him. Do you think Sematia is destined to remain as a tackle, or is he going to be someone who moves inside, even though he is listed as a tackle now?
Probably both. So he was on the freaks list at the beginning of the year. They said he actually clocked in on the field running 20 miles an hour. That's crazy. But then he didn't run that fast in his 40, which is fine. I don't expect a lineman to track train for the 40, but that guy can move. He's a freak. Gym rat. A little sloppy. He was a little exposed at the Senior Bowl, but there's a lot to work with, right? Green Bay loves their O-linemen. There's a lot to work with, and they love athletes. The kid's an athlete, so it's not far off. See, I don't think he's a first rounder at any at all, but someone in the second round, day two, something like that. That's somebody you can work with.
Yeah, for sure. I think either of those. And I guess BB would be the same thing. Like, you wouldn't want to, again, if you trade away your first round pick completely and your first pick is 41 overall, then you don't mind that being the first pick. But yeah,
Right.
in case, and maybe they don't go, maybe they double tap O-line in the second round with 41 and 58. And because they do that, they don't feel they have to reach for an offensive lineman. Like, to your point earlier, I think you mentioned they might be getting the seventh best offensive lineman. Is there a chance that at a defensive position, you could be getting one of the one or two best players, and that's maybe where they go in the first round on defense,
Yeah.
then, O-line twice in round two.
All right. And we're not defense today, but the way I think the corners are about as deep as the O-line is this year. And I think the D tackles is very thin. So you can get, the best D tackle or number one or two, depending how you look at them. Yeah, it might be a route to go, right?
The one thing it does look like, Jesse, with this draft is that there are so many offensive players that are especially slated to go really early in the draft that, yeah, it could push a lot of the elite defensive players down to where the Packers are again in the mid to late 20s. So part of that, I think, is again the one position we haven't talked about, because let's face it, Jesse, we know the Packers aren't going wide receiver in the first round. They never have. They never will. And considering the receiving core they do, it's again, I think you and I agree that if they're going to go offense, it's more impactful on the offensive line. However, we still can talk about some of these wide receivers, especially going early, but let's just get the names out of the way right now. Like Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers, I think, are elite wide receiver prospects. And I think rightfully so, both seem locked to go into the top 10. Honestly, wouldn't shock me if it's three QBs, two wide receivers in the top five, and both Harrison and Nabers are going 4 or 5, because I look at the Arizona Cardinals at 4, the Los Angeles Chargers at 5, who have just traded away, meaning in the case of the Chargers, several of their wide receiver ones, but like both teams have either released or didn't re-sign their number one receivers from last year, so they kind of both seem destined to go wide receivers. So I kind of think it's inevitable. Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers go 4 and 5 to the Cardinals and Chargers respectively. I think the only scenario they don't is because someone in the top three takes one of them away from those two. But like right now, unless those teams get an offer to trade out because someone wants a QB, I almost pencil in
Right.
Harrison to the Cardinals, Nabers to the Chargers, or maybe reverse it, because I think they're both elite and seems like maybe someone surprises us, but seems like those should be the first two receivers going. Am I right?
Right. And like, yeah, and like you said, if they don't go in those spots, it's because someone traded up for a quarterback, right? But yeah, it's going to be quarterbacks and probably two wide receivers being the first, unless Joe Alt sneaks in there somewhere. But I'm with you 100%. Those two guys are gone, long gone. There's probably a few more that are, or at least one more that we have no shot at either.
It seems like Rome Odunze, he seems destined to be at least one of the first three gone. There's some talk that he might even be the first guy. Maybe the Cardinals fall in love with him and they take him at 4. But I'll be honest, I think he's very good. I think if the Packers had a chance to draft him, I wouldn't hate it. But I don't view him as an elite guy like those other two. He's not in the same tier. I'll be honest, Jesse, he's not even my wide receiver three.
Wow, okay. I like him. He ran way better than I thought he would, so that was good to see. But yes, Neighbors is my number one, by the way. I know everybody likes Maserati Marv, but I like Neighbors a little bit better. That's just me. Not it's 1A, 1B, and
I've heard
right.
that take, and honestly, they're so close to me that I can't even really judge going either direction. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no wrong. You can flip a coin and just take the guy and be fine.
To me,
But
it
yeah.
comes down to Marvin Harrison had the better college career for looking from a production standpoint, and he probably has the he's he seems like he's the sh more surefire thing because we've known it for so long, and maybe his name helps us with that. But
Yeah.
because he's done it so well at such an elite school with so many other elite receivers, and he's still producing, still standing out, it seems like he's got like the best chance to just be a professional for the longest time. But last season, Malik Nabers had I think a better season than any of Marvin Harrison's specific seasons. And it kind of gives you same school vibes, but really, I think a lot of people have been comparing, saying Harrison Nabers are almost generational like receiver prospects. I would go back to Ja'Marr Chase being our generational receiver prospect because he had, he sat out his seat the year before he declared for the NFL draft, and he was still the best receiving prospect we've seen probably ever. So I won't go generational that far, but it seems like Nabers could make a single season rise like Chase could and has that type of ceiling. So it's really like Harrison might be safer. There might be more upside with Nabers. So do you want to get risky in the first round or not, essentially? But I mean, maybe someone views Nabers as even safer. So you seem to like him more. So I think any team that gets either should be really happy.
Oh yeah, don't overthink it. The only thing with Harrison, and it's not a bad knock, I think he goes down a little easy, which maybe he's just protecting himself because he didn't want to take any hits. Neighbors didn't do that. Neighbors look for contact. And that's just that little things, which might not be the smartest, but I like that dog. And that's not to say Marvin Harrison's not a dog. He is. But I'm just being nitpicky. And again, if I'm picking number one in a draft and don't need a quarterback, I'm not mad at either one of them.
Heck, the Patriots have Nathan Rourke. They should probably take Marvin Harrison. Be
You
amazing.
should.
Or Nabers. But anyway,
Yep.
so regardless of that, yeah, it does seem like Odunze is all, kind of like Joe Alt, a really strong chance to go in the top 10. In terms of the consensus for his spot, is actually right now the mock draft database has Harris, like I said, Harrison at 4 to the Cardinals, Nabers at 5 to the Chargers, and then Odunze at 6 to the Giants. So three quarterbacks in a row, then three wide receivers in a row, and then Joe Alt. So we're talking about like the number one defensive player going 8, but that's the Falcons picking at 8, and what they've shown the last 2, 3 years in a row, picking at 8 overall, they'll just go with an offensive skill player. So they'll probably take Xavier Worthy, who I actually have as the wide receiver 3 in this class, ahead of Rome Odunze. You talked about
Oh, really?
running.
That should.
Odunze ran well. Worthy ran better than anyone ever has. He set the record for the 40-yard dash at the combine with a 4.21, which is crazy. But I'll be honest, I had him as wide receiver 3 before the combine. So to me, my part of my process has nothing to even do with that. That's just a nice cherry on top. And I don't know about you, Jesse, but I've heard a lot of, oh, John Ross, bust, right? Oh, the fast guy, the fastest guys at the 40, Dree Archer. The one thing about John Ross is he really broke out in his last season. He didn't really have a college production much through before that year. There's a metric called breakout age, and it's you can do it at different percentages, but I have breakout age at 20%, a 20% dominator, meaning 20% of a team's receiving yards and touchdowns. And so what the breakout age essentially is, at what age did you hit that threshold, in this case 20% dominator? N None of these guys in this class that I have inside my top 20 broke out at age 18, except Xavier Worthy. And he made an immediate impact as a true freshman. That's incredibly difficult to do, and that's got a lot of signal to it. His career average dominator rating was 31.4. It's almost 10% higher than Malik Nabers. And his single best season isn't as good as Nabers last year or Marvin Harrison. But a receiving yards per team pass attempt, I believe in his second season, he had 2.89. And from a single season best in this class, that's, I think, the fourth highest. Again, Nabers, Harrison, elite. There's another Xavier, actually, who had one elite season and, but happened last year as a kind of overager 22-year-old. So it's maybe not as impressive as Worthy being so good as an 18-year-old. You add in, I think, this cherry on top of this record-setting speed, I think you could have an elite wide receiver here too. And so my caveat on the Packers not going wide receiver in round one, because it doesn't seem like the consensus on Worthy is as nearly as strong as for me going, I want him as wide receiver three, even ahead of Adunze. It does not seem like that's the case. And maybe his, you know, his elite 40 time makes it so he's not there. But I think the Packers maybe even should take him at 25. I don't know. Again, first round receivers with the receivers they have, maybe that's not as good of an investment and impactful to the team at tackle, but he could truly be an elite guy. And we talk about, okay, it's Watson, the alpha. No, it's Reed. Maybe Xavier Worthy could come in and do that. So I don't know. Are you as enthusiastic about Xavier Worthy as I am?
Not as much as you. I wish he was 10 pounds heavier. I don't like receivers that weigh 170 pounds. I just don't.
And to be honest, the Packers probably don't either. So there's a chance if he's, even if he's there, they let him go and they let him fall.
Because I think it's almost equally impressive. His teammate, Mitchell, who is, what, 25 pounds heavier and ran a 4.34. I mean, what are they doing in Texas? This is just a track meet, right? Both have great hands.
They have been a pretty good team the last couple of years. I don't really pay attention to college, but I know they made the playoffs. There was a lot of discussion this year.
Right.
About the playoffs.
So you look at both of these guys' highlight when you watch one, like you just go watch a cut up of a Texas game, trying to watch one of these guys. You catch yourself watching the other guy that game. You're like, oh my God, that guy's better. Then you watch the next game, trying to watch vice versa. The other guy jumps out. So I think you can't go wrong with either one, and they both can fly. I think what Worthy does is he gives you something that you really don't have. You have a bigger guy in Watson, and you have, not saying possession guys, but just different kind of body style. This guy would be like your true cheetah, right? Your true guy that just
he would be the wide receiver version of what the secondary has in Eric Stokes.
Right. Exactly. Just somebody that's different, right? But I think you can get that from other guys too. So why I would, again, the three guys we just named, you know, the two Texas guys with Mitchell and Worthy, and then Brian Thomas, who I think probably put himself in the top 15 too. He has so Randy Moss to me. Not saying he's going to be Randy Moss. Game reminds me of Randy Moss when Randy Moss came into the league. That guy's going top 15 too. That guy's just a touchdown machine waiting to happen. So while the Packers don't draft wide receivers in the first round, don't ever say never, because this might be that year where they just do something crazy and say, you know what? Try to cover. So,
and this will be the year we don't want them to do it again. I really like Worthy, but if the concerns are there with the weight, and it seems like it's already an embarrassment of riches with that young, like fully rookie contract receiving core already. Again, the impact of taking a tackle if they're going to go offense probably seems stronger, because if they're not going to go Worthy, like you mentioned, Brian Thomas, I have him in a tier with Troy Franklin, Keon Coleman, but I don't like any of them enough to say you should take them in the first round. So again, I'm thinking if it's not Worthy, and assuming Harrison Neighbors and Dunes aren't there, I don't think there's a wide receiver worthy of being picked by the Packers in the first round. Xavier Leggett, I do like him, but again, the late breakout only at age 22, that's a little bit scary too. Was he just a one-year wonder? The one thing about Adonai Mitchell, his career dominator at the same school as Worthy is actually higher. Now, later
really?
Breakout
wow.
age. Yeah. And his single season best receiving yards per team pass attempt is actually pretty bad for this class. 1.78.
Yeah.
Anything below, like, even like a 208. Who's got 208? Malachi Corley at 208. Even that's not great. So a 1.78 is really not that good. So no,
right.
Not as impressive as Worthy. But yeah, I think, thinking like you, there's maybe a couple of interesting names at wide receiver, but by the time the Packers get there, so many of them are expected to go that I don't think it's worth it at this point. So
right.
To me, it's either, again, I think it comes back to, I agree with you on this. In the first round, if they're going offense, it's offensive line or bust. I guess one of the things we didn't talk about was other tight ends we like. Brock Bowers is really good. I hear Jatavion Sanders going around as maybe a semi-first rounder, but early second rounder. I don't love it. And again, I'm all about athleticism at tight end, because I think that's the true separator there. And maybe it's my Canadian bias, I like Theo Johnson a lot better, Ben Sinnott, Jared Wiley. And those are all guys that looks like they won't need to go in the first round to get. I mean, I think Terry he mocked Jared Wiley on day three. So again, that's one, I'll let you read where exactly that is. So if they like some of these athletic tight ends and they want to add his depth, I like it, but probably not on the first 2 days, not in there with the Packers right now slated with four picks on those first 4 days, or sorry, the first 2 days, four picks in those first three rounds. I don't really like going tight end with any of those, to be honest. I might almost even agree at running back. I don't know what you think.
No, I mean, no, running back is such a plug and play position, unless they just think one of these guys is unbelievable. I just don't see it that early where you could get a guy in day three and he could probably, again, I know there's tiers, but yeah, unless that guy's like a generational guy, unless they think Brooks could be that guy long term. And I'm not even so sure, but whatever. But yeah, I'd rather go elsewhere. That's a luxury pick, which, yeah, that's nice to have, but. Yeah, I'm going a different route, especially with tight end too. It's kind of the same thing. Like, who are you really willing? The only way, and it goes back to the receiver too. If they go receiver in the first round or a tight end early, they're either A, concerned about Christian Watson long term, and they're looking for a replacement there, or they just don't see, Musgrave or Kraft, who I have a hard time believing is the answers long term. So I don't see either of those picks, unless you just see a freak that's gonna, be a Hall of Famer.
Because I could see them like even like at 58, let's say, with their second round pick going wide receiver if they hadn't yet addressed it. I know a guy I really like is Devontez. Sorry, I always forget his first name because everyone just calls him Tez. But yeah, Devontez Walker. His dominator
Carolina.
rating's almost as high for his average career dominator as high as Marvin Harrison. Just impressive of just consistent production over the course of his time. So be kind of a safe guy that you could throw in and know that he'll be a pro, he'll be on the team. Like if they went Devontez Walker 58, like does that still seem early though to you?
Unless you just think this guy's the dude, right? Seeing UNC games around here, hey, that guy reminds me a lot of like Romeo Doubs, how he can get open, but he's got way more speed. So, is it early? Maybe for I always like to say who's on the board still. You know what I mean? What's your best value? And if there, I have some favorites where it's like, man, why'd you go with that guy? And then all of a sudden, okay, I get it, but yeah, if they really love him, I'm trusting Goody. He's put together outside of one draft, which we won't mention. He's put together the last two pretty solid. So,
I mean, an 88 overall might also be a more appropriate spot. So really, it does feel like, again, the only position they should be taking in the first two rounds on offense really does feel like offensive line again, or, you go defense on all three and you really make this an elite unit. That'd be a lot of fun too, to be honest.
yeah, and trading back was a good idea, but don't be surprised if they trade up. They got that extra ammo. And
Yeah.
on day two, hey, let's try to get two first rounders out of this so you get a fifth year option on both if you really like a guy. So that and Goody said they're gonna be aggressive. If their guy's there, they're getting them. So I love that approach.
Or using maybe use 58 and 25 to move up into the top 15. Again, maybe
Right?
they're like you and they really like Waga and they just let's trade up with someone at like 12 or 13. Someone who maybe is thinking, if
Rebuilding team.
maybe you know what? Go with Jaire Alexander trade with the Saints, right? At 14. Is that a team that again with all their cap constraints, they need is if they could get a shot at a first rounder and then another, maybe even early second. Can you get to 14 and get him there? Maybe. But all to say, yeah, it seems like they could address really wide receiver in multiple stages. But I think we kind of like 88 overall. If there's a good wide receiver there, that makes sense in the third round, but certainly throughout day three as well. But yeah, I'm feeling tight end and running back, especially. There could be some good guys available on day three. You mentioned Jonathan Brooks. I wonder if, because he suffered a bad knee injury, I wonder if he falls a little bit more too because of that knee injury. And maybe the Packers could afford to take him and almost redshirt him this year as he recovers from that knee injury. That wouldn't be someone, if they went in the fourth round on Jonathan Brooks, I'd be fine with it too.
Oh yeah, low mileage, he's coming off of injury, but like you said, like still a young player and don't even look at him to play this year and he might be your future in a year or two. Yeah, that's a nice thing when, I hated some of the trades and got more value, but now you have those picks where you can play and get shots at the dartboard on high-end talent that might slip.
Now, Brooks is actually currently my RB5 before the draft. If I were to rank it for the Packers, though, I think I would move him up a spot because my RB4 is Audric Estime. As a bilingual Canadian, I'd want to say Audric Estime. I don't think, I mean, he went to Notre Dame. Feels like he should have a French name, but Audric Estime, the one I really like him. Again, my current running back four. I wouldn't love him on the Packers, though. I don't know about his receiving profile. That's the one big question mark to me. I know people were disappointed with his combine, but his relative athletic score was still 8.59. So pretty decent. I'll mention a couple names now. My RB2, I guess, as I'll count up towards it or count down towards, depends on how you like the numbers. Not quite as impressive as that, but I still think pretty decent. But yeah, the lack of receiving work. I don't want to say he's Dexter Williams because that feels like it's really helmet scouting, because I think Estime is a much better running back than Dexter Williams was. But it gets that kind of fear where it's telegraphed and there's no fit on the team. So, like, for the Packers, I'd probably have Brooks as RB4. The one guy I like that's kind of older, he's the one I mentioned earlier, my top film grade, would have been RB11 in last year's class. So, not it's you know, it's the best of I don't want to say mediocre bunch, but an average bunch. Ray Davis, Raymond Davis out of Kentucky. You know, he's a bit of an older prospect too. But again, for a Packers team that is so focused on win now, I think he could immediately contribute. Now, do you need absolute immediate contributes from a running back? Maybe. I mean, because he's older, maybe he slips to like a fifth round. I'd be fine taking Ray Davis. I know his combine score was weren't the great. His relative athletic score is a 6.12. So that's not, you don't love that from a running back. Certainly other guys that were much worse. But yeah. So what do you think of those two? Estime, do you agree with me that I don't love it for the Packers? I love him as a player. I don't love him for the Packers because of the receiving work. Do you agree with that sentiment? And then what do you think about Ray
I do,
Davis
yeah.
afterwards?
His tape was decent. Like that, yeah. That 40 was very. Oh man, that's another slow guy. He reminds me of a little bit more explosive AJ Dillon because he breaks tackles. You look at his film; he does run away from guys, so he can't be that slow, right?
The thing about Estime I love was contact balance. So
Right,
that was, I think,
exactly.
his best trait. Maybe I should think I had the highest contact balance score in this entire class. So I thought that was his best trait, and it's the best trait. He shows off really and stands out among this class in that. There's one other
I
guy that was
agree.
pretty close to him, though.
Yeah, I agree. You know, so he stayed on his feet. You know, he brought the boom. Again, yeah, Packers want receivers. You know, at running back too. But yeah, they kept AJ Dillon, so I don't see that fit like you're kind of saying. But yeah, I didn't hate the guy. I wish if he was faster, man. I think he hurt himself. But again, his film is good. Davis, yeah, older. Which you this year with the COVID years, you're starting to see that. You see a lot of 24-year-olds. You know, 23-year-olds, guys like that. Again, you know, guy that played in the SEC, so a tough Power Five conference, and he produced. He had a really good Senior Bowl. Yeah, just a little bit older. I don't know if that fits what the Packers are looking for, but again, you get him late day three. That's a guy that you got some experience. You might take a swing on him.
He's like two
Jalen
years
Wright.
younger than Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, right. Isn't that crazy? But then I like Jalen Wright. That's a guy I like. He's small, bowling ball kind of guy, super explosive, big play waiting to happen. But he could take hits too. Like he reminds me of a little heavier Aaron Jones kind of guy that he took a lot of contact and just kind of bounces off of it and makes a play. And that's kind of my guy that I really dug just watching his stuff.
Yeah, he was up there in the tape grade too. Actually, the one score that he didn't do so well in, he was 16th in body fluidity. So I felt that even though he's a smaller guy, he'll run upright, which may not hurt him as much at his size. But as fast and quick as he is, and as good of a footwork as he was third in my footwork score, number one in my burst score. And he's the guy I mentioned earlier. His relative athletic score 9.81. He ran a great 40 time and looks like a
Oh, yeah.
great athlete. And just kind of confirmed when I saw on tape with that burst score. But yeah, the fluidity score being low kind of hurt him a little bit. He's been inside my top five throughout the whole process, but good transition for you to mention him here because he is my RB2. And
Nice. How's it?
he's the one guy, if the Packers decided to take at 88 in the third round, I'd be okay with it. Now, I like the next guy more, but it doesn't seem like he's going anywhere close to like even being drafted necessarily. Like I think he should be drafted. But he's really down the list of like the draft eligible guys on the mock draft database. They've got him at 286 on the big board. So you know, there are 257 picks. So if the big boards fall in order, he would in theory go undrafted. But I think the best running back in this class is Blake Watson.
That's your
He was
guy.
yeah he was his contact balance score was almost as good as Audric Estime. So second highest in this class. Oh yeah, that was the thing about Wright. He was eighth in contact balance as well. So even for his short frame, he was still really good. So these are the two I really like, and I'd be fine again them reaching on Wright, or really seems like drafting Watson is considered a reach. But yeah, if they went like even the fourth round on Watson, I'd be super fine with it. There aren't too many guys I'd like for that. They might even be able to get away with you know, Watson in the sixth round. I think if they can do that, that's such great value. Could be a long-term replacement. Again, the contact balance is strong enough. That makes me think he could be a goal line back for them. And there's, you know, he could be a help them in the red zone, especially in okay, touchdowns come out of possessions with him as opposed to field goals. He was sixth in body fluidity. So I also think he's really good at evading guys, not running with a low pad level. He'll shift his body to not take massive hits either. 10th in burst score and 12th in footwork. So the footwork could use some work. So maybe it's almost an ideal situation for Watson in that he'll be able to get his technique up for a year behind Josh Jacobs and AJ Dillon. And you know, with Dillon on a 1 year contract and the Packers' ability to get out of Jacobs' contract, maybe 2025, Blake Watson is the Packers' lead back and he does really well at it. The one thing was his college production was pretty ridiculous for a few guys that have really good production throughout. 2 years at the FBS level, and he averaged 1,432 scrimmage yards per season, which is the most of the 21 running backs that I evaluated. Estimate was pretty close, 12.69, or sorry, 1,269 scrimmage yards per season. I think the next highest outside of Watson was actually, looks like Cody Schrader out of Missouri. He averaged 1,350 scrimmage yards per season. But again, Blake Watson over 1,400 over his 2 seasons in the FBS. It was crazy good production. Last season at Memphis, he caught 53 receptions, which is the second most in a, or third most, sorry, in a single season from any running back in this class. So he also fits the mold of the pass catching back and could be a true, I think, three down workhorse. Even if you know you have to, you know, you fill the team with him and someone else, and it's a two guy split, but that you're not telegraphing roles. Okay, Watson on the field. It's not just a run or just a reception. He can do either so well. So the fact that he'd be so cheap makes me really, as much as I love the running back position, I kind of hope the Packers don't address it until really nice and late in the draft. I think their sixth round pick right now is at 169th. It's a compensatory pick, it looks like. So I guess they don't have their original sixth. Yeah, they traded to Buffalo. I think that might have been part of the getting the extra third, I think, on the Rasul Douglas deal, whatever it was. But yeah, so I like Watson. I think they could take him in the sixth round. It makes me, again, not want to reach on anyone, but we reached through all the prospects really well here, Jesse.
I think so. Yeah, that's a great list. Let's take them all, right?
For sure. And of course, so yeah, on the next episode, we'll talk defensive players. Certainly, I think there's going to be some intriguing names in the first round, which I think we're really excited about there. So we'll maybe structure the episode differently, not so much position by position, but maybe round by round. I don't know. We'll decide. We'll have to listen on to our next episode to find out. But you can also, of course, follow us on X at FBC underscore Packers. Jesse's at Hall underscore J Hall 1212. I'm at Senra Says. Shout out to PA the Second for letting us use the song Odai Wu as our intro and outro music. So, Jesse, any final thoughts for the listeners?
Hey, as always, go Pack, go.
Absolutely. Hope we didn't offend anyone with the offensive prospects we talked about, but we'll talk defense on the next episode. A Full Press Packers Pod.